Our text is taken from Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 17 through 29. And let me read for you this passage. Acts chapter 5, verse 17 to verse 29. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. And when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Obeying God, not men, is the theme of my message this morning. And in this world that we live in, there are two voices. You have the voice of God and the voice of men. And what is God's voice? God's voice is none other than God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. And that's why Dean Bergen of Oxford said that the Bible is none other than the voice of Him that sitteth upon the throne. Every book, every chapter, every verse, every word, every syllable, every letter is the direct utterance of the Most High. The Bible is none other than the Word of God, not some part of it more, some part of it less, but all alike the utterance of Him that sitteth upon the throne, faultless, unerring, supreme. Amen. And John Calvin himself said, when we read the Bible, it is as if God is speaking directly to us. In the Bible, we find the very voice of God. Do not seek the voice of God in a vision or in a dream today. God's Word is complete and perfect and whole. And we derive every doctrine, every principle, infallible and inerrant, from His holy words that He had inspired and also preserved. We also have the voice of the Spirit speaking in our hearts. For those who are born again, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth. And we must be sensitive to hear His still small voice speaking to us, using His words, and speaking to sanctify hearts and minds, so that we might be led in His way. So you have the voice of God speaking to you, to me. But there's also a conflicting voice, the voice of men. And this voice is none other than the sinful voice that comes from within us. How we are sinful and depraved. How we must not let the old man come up to mislead us. And sometimes we deceive ourselves, don't we? How we must not be misled. Not only by our own sinful voices, but then there's also the voice of the world. The philosophies of the world that try to drown away the voice of God. And then you have the voice of Satan, which casts doubts. Yea, hath God said? You have the voice of Satan, which speaks lies that seek to deceive. For Satan is the father of lies. And Satan's voice that falsely accuse, for he is the accuser of the brethren. How we must not allow these voices to crowd away the voice of God that we find in His Word and by His Spirit. How we must train, dear friends, our ears, physical and spiritual ears, to hear the very voice of God. So in our daily lives, we are continuously confronted by these voices. Which one will we listen to? I think there's a good lesson we can learn from the apostles of Jesus Christ in the book of Acts. Now, the apostles of Jesus Christ were commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to be His witnesses. And they did not fail to accomplish that holy duty that the Lord had given them to do. If you turn back to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, the Lord told them, before He departed into heaven, and He charged them, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The Lord gave them the great commission, not only to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, to baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, but also to teach the whole counsel of God. And this they faithfully did in their time on earth. How they preached the gospel with all truthfulness and faithfulness and power. And how the Holy Spirit used the word to convict the people of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 39 we read. Acts 2, verse 37. It says here, "Now when they heard this," when they heard the gospel preached by the apostle Peter, "when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.'" What a wonderful word. There is forgiveness of sins that we have committed. And if we have sinned against the Lord, dear friends, don't say, "The Lord can never forgive me." No matter how great our sins may be, our sins can be forgiven. If only we will confess our sins. And when the Lord convicts us of our sin, we must confess and repent immediately. And let us not harden our hearts. as in the day of provocation. Don't provoke the Lord. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And yes, this word was preached, and how it worked powerfully in the lives of the people. They were convicted and were converted by the power of the Spirit when the gospel was preached. And 3,000 believed. 3,000 believed. In verse 41, we read, "And they that gladly received His word." You see, the word of God must be received. Not criticized, not questioned, not doubted, but humbly and faithfully received with a heart of faith. And that's the only way whereby we will benefit from God's word, when we humbly receive it. And they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The Lord gave the increase. But when the gospel prospers, Satan would oppose. And there was opposition. And the opposition came from the rulers of the Jews. And you turn to Acts chapter 4. They were not happy at all that people were saved. People were converted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. People became believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these rulers of the Jews were very, very angry and very unhappy. And so they oppose the preaching of the apostles of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, we read, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preach through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. There were 3,000 who were already converted, and now another 5,000. Praise the Lord, the word of God cannot be bound. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And it came to pass on the morning that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas," and you know these two were the ones who put Jesus to death, "they were the guilty ones, and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power, or by what name have ye done this?'" They questioned them. But consider Peter's faithful and courageous reply and answer in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost," and you can never resist the irresistible call and grace and burden the Spirit has placed in your heart. You must speak, and you must speak the truth. "And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.'" You ask us, by what name we have done all these things? We have preached the good word and have done this good deed. It is purely by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you have crucified, but God raised him from the dead. And by the power of the resurrection, many are converted. And Peter minced no words and spoke the truth. And then what did the Sanhedrin, these rulers of the Jews, what did they do? You look at verse 15. And when they had commanded them to go aside of the council, they conferred among themselves. See, they could not deny what had happened. What miracles the word of God had performed in the lives of the people, even in the temple itself. And so they conferred among themselves. Verse 16, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Indeed, you can never deny the truth, and do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Truth is victory. Truth stands. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. When they cannot deny the truth, but they still want to oppose the truth instead of believing the truth, and when such men who are opposed to the truth cannot deny the truth but want to stop the truth from being preached, what do? They threaten." Right? That's what they did. "Let us straitly threaten them." Why? Because they had the power and authority. And so, based upon their power and authority, which indeed they had abused, they threatened the apostles. "Let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." Never, never mention the name of Jesus Christ. "We prohibit and forbid you to ever utter his name and preach his name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. "You must shut your mouth." What did Peter and John say to them? Verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We are his witnesses, witnesses of his truth. And he had commanded us to be his witnesses, not only in Jerusalem and Judea, but also in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We had heard his voice most clearly. And now you want us to stop preaching? Stop mentioning his name? And his name is so powerful. His word is so powerful. Thousands are saved and delivered from their sin. And you want us to stop preaching and mention the name of Jesus Christ? How can we disobey God? Jesus, our God, commands us, we must obey him. "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." How we need to be very, very courageous today, dear friends. For the world does not like the gospel of Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, we still must preach it. For that is the only way man can be saved from his sin and his error. The only way to heaven. So we must preach. And how we must declare the whole counsel of God without fear and favor of men. And so we see here, even in the days of old, when men seek to oppose the gospel and the word of Christ and the word of God, and they cannot deny the truth, they threaten. And they employ bullying tactics to shut the mouth of God's messengers. But the apostles of Jesus Christ continue to preach and teach. And we thank the Lord for their courage and their boldness to obey God. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12 to 16, Acts chapter 5, verse 12 and 16, although the Sanhedrin commanded them never to mention the name of Jesus Christ, and later they let the apostles go, they did not stop, but they continued on, unabated, to preach and to teach the name of Jesus Christ. In verse 12, we read, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them." Now here, "and of the rest does no man join himself to them." Yes, the apostles preached powerfully and worked powerfully. But there are certain men who did not dare to join himself with them. Who are these "and of the rest"? Now, these were the powerful men, the prominent men, the wealthy men, men with reputation. These who were the higher ups in society refused to join up with the apostles of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they stand to lose a lot. For the apostles were preaching an unpopular message, and already the chief priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees had hauled the apostles to court. And all these men of prominence and of power and of wealth, the rich and the famous, would not let go of their wealth and their reputation, risk their popularity, to join up with these apostles of Jesus Christ and to be despised by those in society. Yes, that's why Jesus said, "Unless you deny yourself, you take up your cross and you follow me, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot follow me." Who are the ones who followed? Well, but the people, it says here. The people magnified them. And the people here refer to the common people, the lowly, the poor, the down and out, the unlearned, the despised. These were the people who praised God for the message and the good news that they heard. And the people magnified and respected the apostles of Jesus Christ. Take note of this. Let us never kowtow to the rich and the powerful. Not that the Lord does not save and cannot save the rich and the powerful. The Lord can save them too, if only they will humble themselves and consider themselves to be nothing. Be willing to give up all for the sake of Christ. Then they can follow the Lord. And the Lord can use them too. But how we must be poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. If we want to enter into the kingdom of God. And these were the people who magnified the apostles of Jesus Christ, who followed him. And we also learn from here that standing for the truth can be a very, very lonely thing. Many will desert and not follow, will forsake you. But we must all be prepared to stand alone. And don't think that we are in the minority. Actually, one with God is majority. See how the Lord was with them, the apostles of Jesus Christ. Weak and frail, unlearned people, fishermen, tax collectors, lowly and despised by the community and society, and yet God used them powerfully to turn the world upside down so that he received the glory and the glory alone. Is the Lord using you today? Is the Lord using me today? The places where we are, whether at school, at work, or in church, is the Lord using us to be his faithful witness? And if you are witnessing and you're witnessing alone, not compromising the truth, you want to live godly and not compromise with the world, then stand alone and do his work and God, by His gospel and resurrection power, will help you to fulfill His purpose and His will for your life. Indeed, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And here in verse 14, we are told, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, more and more believed because of the truth that has been preached." But when more and more believe, again, greater will be the opposition, because Satan is not happy when the kingdom of God is growing. And so what happened? Opposition and persecution. Verse 17. "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." They were very, very angry. "And then they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the word of God cannot be bound." All these chief priests and the Sadducees thought that by putting the apostles of Jesus Christ in prison, the word of God can be bound. But no, God, by a miraculous hand, delivered them out of prison. And the angel of the Lord told them, "You go and speak. When my word is to be broadcast, nobody can stop it." And so they preach. Right in the very temple, the very headquarters of these enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of God cannot be bound. In verse 19 and verse 20, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." All the words, not some words, not most words, but all words, all the words of the Lord. No discount, no taking away. We must speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth, every word of God. For man must live by God's every word. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And when that happened, well, there was this inquisition, right? They were brought back in. Verse 29. Verse 27, we read, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine.'" We already told you, right? Ban you from preaching, and you still preach. "And you have now filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Indeed, they were guilty of crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did Peter say? This godly response in verse 29. "And Peter and the other apostles gave the same answer as they gave before. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" And so they only feared God. They did not fear these men, no matter how powerful they were. And it's also interesting and significant note here that Peter, with holy zeal and courage, did not mince any words, but rebuke the Sanhedrin for their sins. For look at verse 30 to 32. "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. You tell us not to mention the name of Jesus. The more you tell us not to mention, the more we will mention. And I'll tell you, it is Jesus whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Having preached this, they ought to have been convicted. They ought to have confessed their sins and repented. for their salvation. But no, the more the truth was preached to them, these reprobates, those who hate God and hate His word, became even more angry and fierce. Look at verse 33. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. And when they're cut to the heart, when their conscience have been pierced, they ought to quickly confess and repent. But no, they did the opposite. They took counsel to slay them. Their anger was turned into hatred, and their hatred was turned into murder. They wanted to kill the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. They took counsel to slay them. See, the Lord rules and overrules. The Lord still had work for the apostles to do. They still had to go to the rest of Judea and into Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. They have not done that yet. Still had work to do. And although these men tried to kill the apostles of Jesus Christ, the Lord stopped them. And the Lord raised up this man by the name of Gamaliel, who was one of those in the Sanhedrin. And he was a Pharisee, a very famous one, actually. Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. And he was highly regarded in the midst. And the Lord used him to stop them. By his special providence, the Lord used Gamaliel. And Gamaliel gave good advice. Whether Gamaliel was a believer or not, we do not know. Perhaps he could be very near the kingdom of God, having heard the apostles of Jesus Christ. We do not know. But he gave very good counsel in verse 38. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work, this counsel, doctrine of Jesus Christ, and this work, the preaching of the gospel, be of men, it will come to naught. If it's source in men, it will come up to nothing. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. That's very, very wise counsel here. Why do you worry about them? If this whole thing is by human effort, it will be empty, it will be in vain. But if this is God's work, and you go against it, you may end up in trouble. Maybe fighting against God. And you think you can win if you fight against God? It's foolish to fight against God. And verse 40 tells us, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, right? So they whipped them, they beat the apostles, and then they commanded again that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Again, they commanded the apostles, don't ever speak the name of Jesus Christ. They threatened them again and then gave them a good beating and then released them. And what did the apostles do? Did they say, oh, wow, now we have been spared from our lives. They wanted to kill us. Now they just, you know, beat us and whipped us and then release us. So now, since we have escaped with our lives, let us now not preach so much, right? Let us now just better take a rest. Was that what they did? No. What did they do? Verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily, they didn't say, oh, now let us maybe preach once a month or once a year. Not so often. Don't offend them. But no, they continue on. Daily, every day. Where? They didn't say, oh, let me now go to, you know, another town. Let us go to the synagogues or to the other villages far away from Jerusalem so that, you know, they would not know. But no, they preach not only daily, but they also preach in the temple right under the noses of these men who opposed the gospel of Jesus Christ, who had just beaten them up and told them, don't ever preach the name of Jesus. They preach right in their vicinity, in their premises, in the temple itself, which is the house of God, and daily in the temple. Were they being lawless doing this? Of course not. By divine right and law, to preach daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. What a wonderful example for us in the scriptures. Is this not wisdom? Is this not the voice of God? Is this not the holy knowledge that God has given to us by which we should live? Don't need a vision or a dream or a voice from the Lord. Here the scriptures tell us with many, many wonderful doctrines, principles, examples. Only we need to do this one thing. We must consecrate our hearts to the Lord. Not fear man, but fear only God. Obey only God and not man. No matter what, we must be prepared to be faithful unto death. And then we shall receive a crown of life. I have no doubt the apostles of Jesus Christ were faithful unto death. And they will be receiving a crown of life. And we can also receive the same crown if we deny ourselves, carry our own crosses, and follow Him right to the very end. Obeying God, not men. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us, O Lord. Thou knowest we are weak, but we thank Thee that Thou art strong, all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing and all-present. And You have promised to be with us. Your presence will go with us even until the very end. Help us only to keep on believing, keep on trusting in Thee, to seek Thy glory and Thy glory alone. Prepare our hearts now as we partake of the bread and the cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.